angels waging war in the unseen realm. Global events fulfilling biblical prophecy. Eternal life. What lies beyond mortality? From analyzing the paranormal from a biblical worldview to the discussion of cutting-edge science and technology, conspiracy, discovery, special investigative reports. Unafraid to explore the challenging issues facing humanity, welcome to another edition of Skywatch TV.
The world is a lot stranger than you realize, and the only way to make sense of it is to view it through a biblical lens. Welcome to Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. We'll be talking about science and the Christian faith today, and especially science that really kind of twists your head out of shape. I mean, we're talking quantum mechanics and so forth. The author of a book that will expand your view, I guess, of how awesome God's creation really is, but also serve to reassure you that there is no conflict between being a Christian and appreciating the scientific method. He is my co-author on the book, The Day the Earth Stands Still, also the co-author of with Tom Horn of Abaddon Ascending, and the author of the book, Unraveling the Multiverse, host of Into the Multiverse here from Skywatch TV, as well as Chalk Talk, and you see him all over the place here on Skywatch TV. Welcome to Josh Peck.
Hey, Josh, Derek, how you doing? Glad to be here.
Well, this is a subject that I find interesting, and that's why Sharon and I do Sci Friday.
Yeah.
Is this use of science to just begin to poke a little bit or pull on some threads to understand it, how amazing this universe is that God dropped us into. But the word universe implies one. The title of your book says multiverse.
Yes.
So is there more than one? How do you define multiverse?
Yeah, actually, there's a big deception, I think, going on in scientific fields today, and it's called the many worlds interpretation of the multiverse theory. And when the word multiverse can actually mean multi things. It can mean a lot of different things. The most popular way of understanding it is the many worlds interpretation, which basically says that there's other universes that coincide with our own. There's other versions of ourselves. There's all these different scenarios. I don't believe in that one personally. Mm-hmm. That's not what this book is about. It does talk about many worlds, but it talks about how to easily debunk that. There is a version of multiverse theory that I like and I think is actually correct. If you take a book like this made up of many, many pages, imagine each one of these pages is actually a two-dimensional plane. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, you know, it has some thickness, but when you stack them all together, you get a three-dimensional object. There's a version of multiverse theory that says our universe could be one in a larger construct. Now, we would think of that as heaven or the spirit realm. Typically, when we think of ethereal things, when we mm-hmm. think of angels, you know, we think they're ghostly. Yet when we read in the Bible, they're really strong, powerful. They're more solid. Mm-hmm. They have
physicality.
Yeah, they have a physicality, yet they're able to do things that we can't do, which actually make a lot of sense when you add in extra spatial dimensions. I go through in this book, and I explain it as simply as possible. Anybody's going to be able to understand this stuff just fine. How the multiverse idea that we talk about on the show, Into the Multiverse, and throughout this book, coincides with a biblical understanding of heaven, earth, and earth's place in it as a shadow of things that we can't fully comprehend or see. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to shed a little bit of light onto that.
Hmm. A lot of people would assume, and I was one of these, growing up reading a lot of science fiction, that there was an inherent conflict between science and religious faith. Mm-hmm. Sharon has got a degree in molecular biology, and there are some who've actually said, well, she can't possibly be a scientist because she believes in the Bible.
Right.
Accepts that the Bible is the Word of God. Where do you stand on this?
I don't think there should be any dichotomy between the two. When you have the proper understanding of science and the proper understanding of faith, they go hand in hand. The problem is we as human beings tend to mix up our observations of things with our interpretation of what those are supposed to mean. So, for example, two scientists could look at the same experiment and they could come up with completely different conclusions. You could have an atheistic scientist and a scientist who might be a Christian look at Earth's earliest ages and come to completely different conclusions based on what they already believe. Mm-hmm. So when you're able to separate what an actual observation is, what we see, what we can agree on, and what our interpretation is of it, then we realize the differences is only really in our interpretations. We do this as Christians too. There's a lot of times that you'll have, you could have five Christians read the same Bible verse and come up with five different theories as to what it means, but they're all reading and observing the same verse.
Especially when it comes to prophecy.
Oh yeah, yeah, big time. Which it's, I mean, it should be a fun conversation, you know, it shouldn't be a point of contention, but that happens in science too. So when you have the proper understanding of both, there is no conflict. It's just about getting to the proper understanding and realizing that while we can learn a lot of things, we're not going to know everything. Mm.
So the question is not about the existence of evidence, the existence of, say, dinosaur bones. It's just about what they mean.
What they mean, right? Exactly. Yep.
Well, you talk about non-human entities, which is an interesting way of thinking about the angelic realm, you know, non-human entities.
Yes.
But it's technically accurate. What about evidence for them? Have they left fingerprints or, any physical, tangible evidence that we can look at and say, we can accept what the Bible says about them?
Well, you know, it's interesting when it comes to angelic encounters and demonic things, a lot of them tend to be subjective. And I don't mean to count that out as if they're not true. I totally do believe in all that stuff. But you can't recreate it in a lab. So there are some things that don't really fall under the umbrella of the scientific method. And then we have to leave those on faith. Now, there are things that can occur scientifically or through a scientific experiment that may lend evidence to angels or to at least another realm outside of our own. For example, there's a strange phenomenon called quantum entanglement, which somehow two particles that are entangled quantumly can communicate with each other at faster than light speed. It's supposed to be physically impossible, and it is physically impossible. Mm-hmm. The only way you get there is if you add extra dimensions, if there is at least one other spatial dimension, if not more. Scientists think that there's 11. I personally believe there's 12, and I write about that in the book. But when you have an extra dimension, our three-dimensional physics can kind of be bent a little bit. So for example, when you add up the angles of a triangle, you get 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. What if you were to add up the angles of the triangle and you got 200 degrees? You know, seemingly it would break the laws of geometry. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, that's two-dimensional geometry. If the triangle is formed over a sphere, those angles widen up a little bit, but it's still physically possible. Mm-hmm. And you're not actually breaking anything. You're only adding a dimension. So things like that, when we notice that certain experiments are showing weird things that shouldn't physically be possible, they can be possible in higher dimensions.
Hmm. You mentioned something that I think is interesting, that there are certain things, experiences that can't be recreated in a lab.
Yes.
Which is the definition of the scientific method. Mm-hmm. You form a hypothesis, you test it, and by observation through these experiments, then you reach a conclusion. Obviously, that's something you can't do when you're analyzing the fossil record. We cannot grow a dinosaur and watch it die and see how old, you know, long it takes for the bones to form a certain pattern or whatever.
Exactly.
But the same holds true with demonic possession or angelic encounters. And yet, as Christians, we accept that these things happen. What does this say about the scientific method as far as its limits are concerned?
The limits of the scientific method are our physical world. So if you're using science to observe the physical world and understand more about it, then you're in the right place, because that's where it really holds true. Mm-hmm. But if you try to use it for things outside of what we can see, hear, touch, taste, you know, experience in any objective way, it's not going to work, and it's going to fail every time. So there's not a conflict, but there is a separation. I kind of think of it as like a Venn diagram between science and religion, because the scientific method can only get you so far there. But at the same time, faith can only get you so far in science. And that's why when people have, say, an alien encounter, which is something that we talked about in The Day the Earth Stands Still, which is in this amazing package we'll have to tell you about. But a lot of times they'll get ridiculed because those experiences as well usually are pretty subjective. You know, you can't recreate it. You can't. Most of the time, there's no proof. If there is any kind of proof, it's a shaky video or a blurry picture. Nobody has been able to capture an alien to show people that it's real. It's really subjective. So that person who had the experience, and I'm not discounting that people have experiences. My wife had one, but those people, they have to almost, in a sense, take it on faith that it was real. Mm-hmm. There's no objective proof. There's nothing left behind. There's nothing that somebody can hold in their hand to say that this is actually what has happened. So I think science is great for the physical world, but when it comes to the spiritual world, there are things that occur in our physical world that are odd and strange and we could use as evidence, but it's never going to be totally conclusive because you always have that subjectivity there.
Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, because science presumes that anything that cannot be physically observed with our natural senses does not exist.
Yeah.
Then science coming at it the other direction is only looking at a small subset of reality.
Yeah. Objective reality isn't all there is. And that is the mistake that science sometimes makes. Now, when we're studying our physical world, of course, it's important to put objectivity first. We also have to realize that's not all there is. You know, we're going to have experiences. There are things that occur in our world that we can explain and understand through science. And there are some things that we just have to leave up to faith. But science can help some of those subjective feelings we might have become more real if they lined up. And if they don't line up with science, not just an interpretation of science, but actual science, then we can take a second look at it and reevaluate what our opinion is.
Again, the Venn diagram showing that science and faith in a supernatural realm, mm-hmm. The existence of the supernatural, there is an intersection there where they do cross over.
Yes.
This was where Chris Putnam's book, The Supernatural Worldview,
yes,
was very helpful in showing that there were some areas where the evidence suggests, even among academics, that there is something more than what our traditional understanding of science as a naturalistic, as a tool for understanding the natural world,
mm-hmm.
that there are some phenomena that cannot be explained simply by science, that are undeniable.
Yeah, and a lot of those are even being utilized in technology now. I mean, technology has gone so much further than most people might realize. I talked about this in a presentation I gave, Quantum Physics in Prophecy, actually, that's also involved in this package. There's so much technology today that would blow your mind that's available not just for the government, but for just private consumers, too. You and I could buy a quantum levitation kit. I mean, it's a couple $1,000s, so I don't know if we'd want to spend our money on that, but quantum levitation is a real thing. It's really odd. I don't want to get too much into it because it takes a long time to explain, but I could buy right now a quantum eraser kit. And actually, I kind of want one because I'm a nerd and it just seems like it'd be fun. Yeah. So the quantum eraser experiment, there is a very strange property of certain particles when they're observed versus when they're not observed. Nobody knows what it is. Nobody knows why it behaves this way. The particle actually changes when it's observed or when it's not. When its path can be determined, a particle will act a certain way that can be measured. And when it can't be determined by going through beam splitters and things like that, it acts a different way. Now, they're both going through splitters, so it's not the splitter that's doing it. It's something with observation. It's been jokingly kind of postulated that the quantum eraser experiment could, in a sense, be a time machine because somehow this particle knows before it leaves the source, it knows if it's going to be observed or not when there's no way that it could know that. So it's very, very strange. But you and I could buy one of these right now. Weird technology that we have no idea what it's doing or what it is.
It's seemingly defying the laws of physics, natural laws. Yeah.
Yeah. When I found out that is available and has been available for a few years now, that blew my mind. I mean, liquid programmable metal, there's just all sorts of really strange stuff that, I mean, you take it back 50 years ago and people would swear that it's demons and fallen angels and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you a question about something you wrote about in the book, Abbot on Ascending, but first tell you a little bit about how you can get this package, because altogether, you're getting quite an offer here. Josh's book, Unraveling the Multiverse, along with the book that he co-authored with Tom Horn, Abbot on Ascending, the book that Josh and I Josh is like the co-author, the official co-author here at Defender Publishing. The book that we wrote about the UFO phenomenon, extraterrestrials, and the occult origins of ancient aliens.
Yeah.
Significant. Those three books alone, about a $60 value. You mentioned the presentation, yeah. Quantum Physics and Prophecy.
Yes.
We'll have to talk about that here. If we don't get to it this program, we'll have to do a web exclusive on that.
Absolutely.
Best of Into the Multiverse, which is one of the web exclusive programs here from Skywatch TV, and a series of interviews it did with Doug and Joe Hagman.
Yeah, The Coming Technocalypse, and that delves into a lot of the technological aspects of just the weird world that we live in. And you know, what makes this package so perfect for people is if you have never heard the word multiverse or have no idea what it is, this is for you, because it explains everything very clearly. This is really good for your kids, even if you got somebody that's going off to college, because, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody is going into study science or really any of the STEM fields. It's in our culture. It's pervasive in our culture. If you watch TV, you've probably heard of the multiverse. You know, you might not know exactly what it means, but you've probably heard of it. You've probably heard of different ideas about time and how it all connects. But the problem is, what our culture does is it twists it away from God and makes it palatable for non-Christians. And it makes it easier for either people to fall away from Christ because of this stuff or to stay, say, an atheist if they are already. Every item in this package helps pull this all together to show from every conceivable angle that, no, science and faith absolutely do coincide. You really can't have one without the other.
Right.
And it's our culture that is twisting this and making it seem like there's a conflict here.
The overall retail value, if you were to buy all of these things separately, is $135. But for a donation of just $30 plus shipping and handling, just $30 at SkywatchTVStore.com. That's SkywatchTVStore.com. You'll get this entire, the entire package here. The three books, two DVDs, of course. Well, yeah, the five-week series that,
yeah,
about Abaddon Ascending.
Yes.
Which was a key part of that that 5 weeks. The best event of the multiverse and the coming technocalypse. All of that. Again, $135 value. Yours for a donation of just $30 at SkywatchTVStore.com. Now, in Abaddon Ascending, you and Tom wrote about CERN, the Large Hadron Collider at CERN. And it seems to me that... I'd like your comments. What exactly are they trying to do there? Because to me, it seemed as though they were trying to explore the supernatural by using science to tear open reality.
Yeah. And see, there's the difference between observation and interpretation, because I would agree with you. When we look at what they're doing, I would interpret it that way. The problem is, typically, they don't. I do think that there are some high-level operatives that are involved with CERN that make some of the decisions that actually do believe that they're exploring the supernatural. But I think, by and large, most people that work there just want to know more about the universe and about the world we live in and what particles make up what. And that's fine, but the issue is, you have the science director himself, Sergio Bertolucci. He was quoted as saying that they want to open up portals and unknown unknowns might come through. So there are people that are actively involved in this in very high level positions that fully expect to bring something through or to communicate with something. So we explore all of that in that book. And believe it or not, when you get Abaddon Ascending, you'll know how the Large Hadron Collider actually works. Our world wants to tell us that science, especially quantum physics, is so confusing and there's no point in even trying. You know, you're too stupid. Let us scientists worry about it and we'll tell you what it means and we'll interpret it for you. Don't listen to it. It's lies. They're lying to you. This stuff, if I can understand it, anybody can.
So let's go into that. What is your background regarding science, mathematics, and all of this?
Well, I've always had an interest in science fiction. That's really where it started. But like you, I used to think that there was a big conflict between science and religion. So in my earlier years, I was raised a Christian, but I fell away from it for a little while and I came back. Because I thought that there was this conflict between science and religion, I never really pursued science all that much, not as much as I really wanted to. It was actually through Christina, my wife now, but when we were dating, she had a big interest in science and we were broke. So we would watch like public access science shows for date night and stuff like that.
Uh-huh. And you're even more boring than me and Sharon.
Oh, you have no idea. We would win the boring contest. Yeah, so we'd watch these shows and we would just have a lot of conversations about how it might connect with God. And through those conversations, I started to realize, you know, there's a lot more connections here than I ever would have thought. A lot of those programs were quantum physics based. They air a lot of those for free. At least they did back then. I don't know if they still do. But that really sparked my interest, and I started to see a lot of quantum physics in the supernatural accounts that occur in the Bible, such as in the book of Ezekiel, which I go into great detail in a couple of these products here. Ezekiel lived 2,600 years ago. He didn't know a thing about quantum physics. What he's describing is called extra-dimensional unfolding, which is a big fancy term, and it's okay. You don't have to be you don't have to be scared of it, because it's not as complicated as scientists would have you believe. It's basically when you just take any dimensional object and you unfold it into a lower dimension. So if you have a cube, you unfold it, and then you have six squares laid out in a cross pattern. That's all it is. When you read Ezekiel, though, you see the same type of phenomena happening, but twice. It's the double unfolding. So I speculate in the book that these angels might have come from a sixth or maybe seventh spatial dimension. And we don't have to get into all of that right now. It's laid out in the book and we could cover 3 hours on that easily. So, sure. But just to say that if he was just writing a story, there would be no way he could know, Ezekiel could know, to describe it the way he did. When we're seeing phenomena like that now with things like quantum entanglement and other things detailed in the books.
Now you're talking about Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10, where he talks specifically about the cherubim and the ophanim and the wheels.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the parts where it talks about how these wheels were within wheels, the spirit of the ophanim and the spirit of the cherubim.
The spirit of the living creatures were in the wheels. Right.
Yeah. You have two seemingly separate objects, but they have the same spirit. How is that possible? Mm-hmm. Well, if you imagine a two-dimensional universe and you put two fingers in, you know, you would have, say you have a flatlander, a two-dimensional being looking at your fingers. He would see two separate circles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the spirit of one is in the other. You have two separate objects, but to a two-dimensional being, they look separate, but in reality, it's one being. So I think there's something similar going on there.
Mm. As we wrote in The Day the Earth Stands Still, they have some relationship to the way people in the UFO community would describe as extraterrestrials and how they would manifest in ways that defies
Absolutely.
The laws of nature.
Consider this. A lot of times that people have abduction scenarios, they say that the aliens will come through the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Even if this was an extraterrestrial entity that had the technology to do that, a door is infinitely simpler. It's way easier to just open a door than it is to turn on something and make the wall, you know, so you can walk
permeable
through it.
And
why go through all that? But what's even simpler than a door is if you have access to a higher dimension and you can just, in a sense, walk around the wall. We would say around, that's not really exactly the right word, but they would just walk around the wall. They wouldn't even have use of the door. So really low technology, even though it would look technological. And you see that in UFO reports, too. A lot of people have seen objects in the sky that appear to be metallic, solid, flying around, but then they break apart or they come back together. Well, again, the two fingers in Flatland. If I'm putting two fingers in Flatland, eventually it's going to get to my wrist and it's going to look like these two circles are converging into one.
Right, right.
Same thing, just one dimension up. So you have three-dimensional objects doing the same thing from either the fourth or higher dimensions. So I think what's called the extra-dimensional hypothesis, which we lay out heavily in The Day the Earth Stands Still, I think that's a better explanation for a lot of these things, and quantum physics can help us understand that.
Quantum physics has been used by the New Age movement to explain or to try to rationalize some of their beliefs that we could just think about something and make it happen, mind over matter. How do you approach quantum physics? How do Christians process the notion of these seemingly impossible things?
We should, as scientifically as possible first, and then let that dictate how we're going to feel about it. The problem with New Age, especially New Age, and a lot of other belief systems that want to latch onto quantum physics, is they start with the conclusion. They start with how they already feel about something. They start with knowing, oh, it's an ascended master that's talking to me, and it couldn't possibly be a demon or something, or alien visitations are real. They start with the interpretation, and then they try to find observations to match that. It's not going to work that way. You have to start with the observation, and you have to let that guide what you're going to think about it. If you're trying to explain something that is occurring in our realm, even if it's something supernatural, but if it's occurring here in the physical realm, you got to start with objectivity first and let that guide you.
I know we've only got a couple of minutes left here, but the subject of the cherubim and Ezekiel's wheel, because it is so often abused by people in the ancient astronaut, the UFO community, the ancient astronaut evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring this up because the annual Contact in the Desert Festival was recently held in California,
right,
where hundreds of people converged in a small town to hear these evangelists tell them how, in the words of the host from the Ancient Aliens program, the reason we have religions today is because of misunderstood contact in the ancient world by, you know, our ancestors and these ancient astronauts. Why do we as Christians, how do we respond to that? I mean, why have we ceded the field and conceded that ground to these guys?
Yeah, that's the type of conclusion that you reach when you put your feelings first, when you want there to be aliens first, and then you go and you look at ancient history and try to match it somehow. You know, well, how could they make these big bricks and these big buildings? It must be aliens because we already believe in aliens. When you use the objective evidence first and then let that guide you, you actually find out they have it flipped. It's not that they were misunderstanding misunderstanding aliens in the past. We're misunderstanding spiritual entities now. We're misunderstanding what they called gods in ancient times. They're extra-dimensional entities. They're spiritual entities. They're malevolent and evil. And we're misunderstanding them now, thinking that they're aliens.
The books and the DVDs, the audio teachings, a wonderful package for basically conveying the very simple truth that sadly we've sort of lost sight of in the church, is that we as the church, as Christians, don't need to concede science to the atheists.
We got to be on the forefront of this stuff, because if we're leaving it to the atheistic, materialistic scientists,
or the New Agers,
even, yeah, you got both ends of the spectrum there. If we leave it to them, look where it's headed. I mean, look at where science is headed. It's a bleak future at best. Mm-hmm. We need to get on the forefront of this stuff now, and that's why it's so important for us to understand it, for your kids to understand it, for you yourself to understand it. Because listen, we all share this world together. We share the world with these scientists. We have a say what happens in it too. I think that's kind of a problem in the world that we live in, and why science has kind of gone crazy, you know, because there's nobody there to hold it back. There's nobody there to say, whoa, 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 let's talk about if this is even ethical yet, with a lot of scientific advances that are coming out, because Christians by and large now just, they bow out. They don't want much to do with science, especially quantum physics, because they've been lied to. We've all been lied to. We've all been told that we're not smart enough to understand it. Quantum physics is too complicated to understand it, so you shouldn't even have an opinion about it. And it makes us Christians feel like, well, then it's all demonic. You know, then it's all evil. There's no good in it. That's a problem, because it makes it very easy for scientists to just write us off at that point. Mm-hmm. Then we have no influence. Science can go haywire. Science can create a bleak and dark future that it seems like that's where it's headed. We talk a little bit about it in Abaddon Ascending. I definitely talk about it in Unraveling the Multiverse. And I physically talk about it in quantum physics in the Bible in this presentation.
Yeah. And sadly, science has been used to bring back the what we thought was a discredited movement, eugenics, mm-hmm. you know, as we try to self-direct our evolution. Josh Peck's book, Unraveling the Multiverse, part of a package worth $135. It includes The Day the Earth Stands Still, Abaddon Ascending, a number of DVD and audio teachings. Again, $135 if you buy them separately. Your donation of just $30 at skywatchtvstore.com gets those all for you. Josh, we'll continue us in a web exclusive.
Sounds
good. Program, and we thank you for watching as we keep watch. With Josh Peck, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is Skywatch TV.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.